Morning. That was shorter than I thought it was. Before I get into the sermon this morning, I want to say that if you want to know what a church emphasizes, if you want to know what a church values, you see what they talk about. And so today, if ever I was proud, I know Paul says if you're going to boast, boast in Christ. And so this is a way of me doing that, was that today, I didn't plan this at all. So you see God working throughout my foolishness. We're starting Acts today, and we talked about the fact that our children are learning to do missions and to give to missions, and then we just saw what God did in a group of folks from our church and other churches a couple of weeks ago in El Salvador. And so if ever I'm proud, it's that the idea of missions is something that we talk about, something that we emphasize, and something that we value. And so today it works perfectly into the text that we're going to get into. Today's message is Great Commission Christians. That's the idea of what I want to talk about, the idea of where we're going to be. We're going to be in Acts chapter 1. We're going to go through verse 8. And so I want to talk to you about what it means to be a Great Commission Christian. Acts is actually a part two of the book of Luke. The same author writes it. You see, he's writing it to Theophilus, who is probably a guy who is an important person. We don't know exactly who he is. It's there's lots of debate, lots of question, but regardless, we know that Luke and Acts are written by the same person, to the same person. And so Theophilus means lover of God or loved by God. And so the hope is that this person is a Christian, doesn't have to be. But regardless, Luke is writing and trying to tell this person and other folks what God has done. And he starts in Luke in the very beginning, and he tells about Jesus and talks about from his birth all the way through his crucifixion and his resurrection. And then in Acts, he picks up in that same point, and then he's going to talk about how the Holy Spirit spreads the gospel. Now, the name of the book of Acts is not just Acts. It's actually Acts is an abbreviation of sorts, but it's really Acts of the Apostles. And that's what Acts is the book about. But in reality, if we were honest about it, we would look and we see that it's actually Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because the main character in the book of Acts is not necessarily Peter or Philip or Paul, even though Paul takes a starting in chapter, I think it's 13 or 9 and 13, he goes through it. It's about Paul and what God does through Paul. The central character of the book of Acts is the Holy Spirit. And so this morning I want to talk about the Holy Spirit and what he does to make us Great Commission Christians. Book of Acts begins with Jesus having been raised from the dead. And Jesus spends time teaching about the kingdom of God, something he did before he died, and he talks about the kingdom of God. And again, we've talked about the kingdom of God some, and we want to know that the kingdom of God, I want you to know the kingdom of God is not the church, but it is, the church is part of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the rule of God and God's influence in our lives and how we influence the lives of others. We want God's will done. See, that's the way Jesus prayed in the model prayer. And so Jesus continues to talk about the kingdom of God and what God does. And then he's going to give a commission. He's going to commend this to them. It is an imperative. It's not a suggestion. It's not what we think we should do. It's not something that we might think about doing. It is what you as a believer, if you are a Christian, are called and you are commanded and you are responsible for doing. And so the promise of the Holy Spirit brought power to be witnesses. And so this morning we're going to see Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit some more. And eventually in a few weeks, we're going to see the Holy Spirit showing up in the book of Acts and leading them But this morning, I want to talk about what it means to have the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit does in the individual believer. So today, if you will, would you turn to Book of Acts, start in chapter 1. I'll read the first 8 verses, and we'll see a couple of God's promises in this text. Luke writes, he says, I wrote the first narrative, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up after he had given orders through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After he suffered, he also presented himself alive to them by many convicting proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while he was together with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise. This, he said, is what you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they came together, they asked him, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom of Israel at this time? And he said to them, it's not for you to know times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. What does it mean to be a Great Commission Christian? First of all, we got to understand what God promises. And the first thing that God promises is that God promises himself to us through the Holy Spirit. Now, I know we've talked about the Trinity a lot on Wednesday nights and trying to understand it. And the fact of the matter is we cannot come to a complete understanding of the Trinity. That's why he is God. But on a very basic level, God exists in 3 persons, yet he's one person, and one of those people indwells you when you become born again, when you get saved, when you get regenerated. All these terms mean the same thing. When you give your life to him, he will indwell you. And so God promises himself through the Holy Spirit. This is nothing new. When Jesus says, hey, you wait here until the promise shows up, it's a promise Jesus had been talking about before. And I want to give you a few verses that demonstrate that. In John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, that being the Holy Spirit. Another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him. But you do know him because he remains with you. And he will be with you. So Jesus is promising the Holy Spirit before he ever dies. Again, in Luke chapter 3, verse 16, John answered them. He says, I'm going to baptize you with water. John the Baptist is baptizing. He says, I baptize you with water, but there is one who is coming who will baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit. So Jesus has promised the Holy Spirit. John has promised that one day somebody will come and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. God promises himself to you as a believer to have the Holy Spirit. Now, this idea of baptism in the Holy Spirit is a greatly debated question in Christianity, and it has created multiple denominations because different people have different opinions. I will just say this. Scripture talks about baptism. In Matthew, it says we are to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. There are instances in Acts where people are baptized again, but it seems to be that they are baptized first by John, and then they're baptized as believers. So what does it mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Some argue that it is a second baptism in which you get a special gift of the Holy Spirit. And it results in different ways of expression. talking in tongues, other things. Now, I don't think that that's what it means. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul writes, "For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether we're Jews or we're Greeks, no matter where we're from, whether we're slave or whether we're free, we all were made to drink of one Spirit." And so Paul says, when you are baptized, you're baptized into the same Spirit. So what does this mean then, if I'm baptized by the Holy Spirit? If John baptizes with water, Jesus is going to baptize by the Holy Spirit. I do think it is a special thing. But it is a special thing that happens at your conversion. It is a special thing that happens when you give your life to God. You get the Holy Spirit, and not just part of him. You don't need subsequent baptisms to get more and more Holy Spirit. I think you get all of the Holy Spirit at one time. The only question is this: how much am I going to obey him? How much am I going to heed what he tells me? How much am I going to do what he calls me to do? How much am I going to rely on his guidance and on his ability to teach me, to rebuke me, to give me counsel? How well will I listen? And so Paul will come back and he will say, be filled with the Spirit. In other words, empty yourself and listen to him more. It's not a subsequent feeling. It's not a subsequent baptism, but rather it is a very special thing that you get God living in you. It baffles my mind to think that God lives in me. At one extreme, it is, there's awe, there's just amazement. At another extreme, it is, uh-oh, he knows everything I do. Matter of fact, he's in everything I do, whether it is good or sin. But God promises himself. But not only does he promise himself, he promises power. Now, all of us want power. And if we're honest, we want power, we want influence, we want the ability to be over other folks. Now, some want more power than others, but that's disregard the reasons why. But we all want some amount of power in life. And so Jesus' disciples... here, you wait in Jerusalem. And so they say, okay, Jesus, we're going to wait here. But is this when you're going to come and we're going to restore the kingdom, right? The kingdom of Israel. And they get it all wrong. You see, Jesus has been talking about the kingdom of God. And then they say, what about the kingdom of Israel? When do we get to take over? Is this the time where we're going to rule? Is this the time where we're going to be vindicated? Is this the time where we get to stomp out our enemies? Is this the time we get to take out those who crucified you? Is it now? Do we get to rule? And Jesus says, you missed the whole point. You've missed the whole idea. I've been talking about the kingdom. Who cares about those things? That's for God and his authority to decide. But you're going to get power. Verse 8. You're going to get power. And what is that power for? That power's not to rule. That power's not to be able to stomp out other people. That power's not to hurt others. That power is not the ability to take over and rule the world. That power is to be witnesses. That changes things. Jesus says, yeah, you're going to get power, but not the kind that you wanted. Not the kind you hoped for, not the kind where you get to rule and beat up people, but the kind that which you get to declare the goodness and the holiness and the message of God. He says, you're going to be my witnesses. Where? Where are you going to be my witnesses? You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, where we are now. You're going to be my witnesses in all of Judea and Samaria, and those were regions. You're going to be my witnesses to the end of the earth. Let me make that a little more local. You will be my witnesses here in Eunice. You will be my witnesses in all of North America. Any Armstrong offering? You'll be my witnesses to the ends of the earth, like El Salvador. God has called us to be bold, to be witnesses, and to have power that emboldens us to tell of who he is. The power of the Holy Spirit is not power to have rulership, but a power to open your mouth and tell about Jesus. I think it very appropriate what Jennifer said a while ago. Too many of us say, well, I'm just going to be good and hope they catch on. I want to show God's love and hopefully they'll ask me about it. Yet that is not what Jesus is saying. He said, you're going to be my witnesses. And never do you see the disciples going around being good guys. Paul doesn't just go around being nice. Philip doesn't go around being nice. They open their mouth and they say, here is the gospel. So we can, in one instance, we can go around being nice and hope they catch on. Or in the other instance, we can go and say, do you know Jesus Christ? Danielle was telling me about one of the days and that they were there and they asked the one little girl, do you know who Jesus is? And she had no clue. And they asked the mother, and the mother had no clue. They could have been as nice as they wanted to be, but they would have never asked about Jesus unless the group said, let me tell you about Jesus. See, it's not a suggestion that you should tell people about Jesus. God has commanded us to open our mouth and to be witnesses. And if you're scared, it's okay. I get scared too. But that's where you get the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you want to be a Great Commission Christian, you don't just walk around being nice to others. You walk around and you witness verbally about the goodness of God and his salvation that he offers to all of mankind. So as I close, are you a Great Commission Christian? Do you open your mouth? Or do you allow fear to overpower you and say, I hope they just catch a little bit of God as I walk by? Because let me be honest with you, I'm not that holy. People don't just catch God because I walk by. People don't just catch God because I'm nice. People catch God when I talk about him. Are you a Great Commission Christian? Are you someone who declares God's goodness and God's grace and God's mercy, not just in deed, but in word? Are you someone who's willing to go to the ends of the earth? For God. Will you stand? Respond to God. Some of you need to ask for forgiveness. Some of you need to make pledges and promises that you will be a Great Commission Christian who opens his or her mouth and not just hope people catch it by association. The Holy Spirit indwells you. God lives in you, and he gives you the power to witness of who he is. Father God, we come to you. We are humbled by children. who see the value of missions. We are humbled by those who have gone. And God, it is only by your providence and your knowledge and foresight that today we open up the book of Acts chapter 1 and see that we are called to be witnesses where we are, in our country, and across the world. God, I thank you that you are a much better planner than I am. Father, I pray that today you would convict us. That we far too often keep our mouths shut when you have given us power to be witnesses. Forgive us. God, I pray that we rely on that power to declare who you are to a lost and dying world, a neighbor who needs to hear you, a child who needs to hear about you, a friend who needs to hear about you, a country that needs to hear about you, a world that needs to hear you proclaimed. God, may you go before us and may you embolden us and empower us for your glory and yours alone. In your name we pray. Amen.